Now to an unaltered human voice, reading from Walt Whitman's Song of the Open Road.
Let the paper remain on the desk unwritten, and the book on the shelf unopened. Let the tools remain in the workshop. Let the money remain unearned.
Let the money remain unearned. Huh. Whitman's words may not be much comfort to those who've been laid off, but Professor Benjamin Honeycutt has a message for people who've been furloughed or had their hours cut. A shorter work week may not be all bad. He's a professor of history and leisure studies at the University of Iowa.
What I do with leisure studies is to try to understand why it was that for over 100 years, work reduction, shorter hours, was seen to be a good thing, the very definition of progress. But for the last 70 years or so, we've had no increase in leisure time, and we no longer understand that part of progress might very well be more leisure, shorter hours, more time to live.
You write that in the early part of the 20th century, people thought that we'd actually be working three-hour days by now. Why was that?
John Maynard Keynes, the famous economist of the 20th century, predicted in 1930 that we would be working 3 hours a day by 1980. What he was doing, he was looking back at the century of shorter hours when throughout all of the industrial nations, working hours had gradually but steadily gotten shorter and shorter. He saw this as a process that would continue. No one in 1930 predicted this process would stop. And also industrialist Walter Gifford, the president of the American Telegraph AT&T, he thought capitalism itself would liberate human beings, not just give them more money, but free them so that they could live more fully outside of the realm of economics, where we could realize our full humanity.
Professor Honeycutt, in this bleak economy, where people are worried about the mortgage, does time off really translate into leisure, or is it just frightening paralysis?
It depends on who you're talking about. Certainly, the people at lower levels on the economic scale are struggling, and perhaps this doesn't apply to them, and what you say is altogether true. But for a significant portion of our population, it is very possible that the hours are reduced with a proportionate reduction in pay without all sorts of tragedies happening.
You've written that there's a theology of work in America where jobs and the things that we buy with them give our lives meaning. Given the bleak economy, is this a time for us to perhaps redefine work and leisure?
I think it is a challenge, and one of the reasons why it is so frightening for so many of us to see the economy in the shape that it's in is that it begins to ask us questions about our work. What is there worthwhile outside of work? Is there anything worthwhile outside of work? Can we find those things somewhere else other than in our wealth, other than in our jobs, perhaps family, perhaps those things of the soul? Perhaps those things can be given new attention and act as rivals, perhaps, modern rivals to the religion of work.
Benjamin Honeycutt is the author of Work Without End and a professor at the University of Iowa. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.